I'm Chaplain Karen Eden. For years, I worked as a TV reporter and journalist, covering the stories assigned to me. Today, I'm on a different assignment, and I'm taking orders from a different boss. I've combined my reporting skills with my spiritual ability to come up with a new assignment, the Eden Assignment.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Eden Assignment. I am Karen Eden. This is a show specifically designed for people labeled control freaks. That's right, control freaks, and I'm one of them. I am probably the biggest control freak I know. How does that happen? I don't know. I think it happens when you realize that sometimes things aren't done right or they never get done if you don't take care of it, and you put that burden upon yourself to do it all because you know it's going to get done right if you do it. You know it's going to get done if you do it. And I know a lot of you out there, especially if you're in martial arts, you're probably a control freak like myself. And this is interesting because when you are this way, it can get you really far in the physical realm. Control freaks are leaders. They're people who are very focused and disciplined at times to make things happen, and they do very well in life. But it is a double-edged sword. It's not you swing the pendulum the other way, it's not good. Because so many people don't understand your motive of operation when you're someone who's a control freak. A lot of people take things very personally. They're afraid of you even. Those are just some of the repercussions in the physical realm. But I got to tell you, in the spiritual realm, control freaks can have a really hard time following the rules. So I'm laughing because... sometimes I think I make these shows for me, really. but I know there's a lot of people like me. Listen to what I'm going to tell you here about being a control freak. You cannot be present if you are constantly trying to control the future. You cannot be present if you are constantly trying to control the future. It's a rare opportunity that someone who's a control freak can have a good time in any situation because their mind's gone. The mind's already gone to the next day, the next job, I don't know, the next planet. Control freaks are always three steps ahead of everybody. They're always thinking ahead. Again, that's why they're very successful in life. But again, they are forfeiting some wonderful opportunities, not just in the physical realm, but in the spiritual realm as well. You need to calm yourself down, ladies and gentlemen, if you're one of the CFs, we'll just call them CFs, because you're missing out on a lot of life on a daily basis. Okay, well, let me tell you something. If you can arrive, I mean, people who aren't controlling can arrive here quicker in the spirit realm, and I think God probably finds them easier to work with. And people who are CFs, control freaks, God's probably like, would you let go of the wheel? Let me do this, please. You always have to be in the driver's seat. You know, I'm trying to help you out here. But anyway, if you can learn, ladies and gentlemen, who are CFs like myself, to let go, just let go, you're going to find it to be the most freeing move you've ever experienced. To be able to let go of things. I know it's hard. I know it's very difficult to let go of things. I mean, it's everything. You know the saying that if you want to get something done, you need to ask a busy person to do it? Because busy people are control freaks. And they'll find a way. They'll fit it in. It's very true. But ultimately, in the long run, you're missing out on not just the physical elements that you could participate and enjoy on a daily basis, but you're missing out on something called just the simple voice of God. There's something in the Bible, a verse in the Bible that says, be still and know that I am God. Be still. Control freaks have a really hard time being still because there's so much to do and so little time to do it. But this is part of your spiritual journey. That if you don't learn to be still and listen to God and listen for God and know that He is God, you're going to bang your head against the wall in the spirit realm over and over again, and you're going to discover that you have the same issues in your life over and over again. because you're not stopping. You're not being still to listen, to learn, and to understand. And you're not being still to lean, to learn to lean, to learn to let go. Being able to let go and being able to lean first comes from just being still. S-T-I-L-L. I know I say it with a southern accent. Still. I actually am from the South, and was born in Tennessee and raised in the southwestern area of Virginia. And it took me a long time to ditch my accent because I did professional broadcasting for many years. So I've overcome a lot of it, but when I'm just talking as myself, a lot of times my accent will come out. So that's just, in case you're wondering, I'm not talking about steel like the metal. Talking about still. Still. Be still. Don't move. Be still. Spiritually, be still. And a lot of faiths, religions, whatever you want to call it, endorse meditation because it makes you, it forces you to calm down and be still. I don't have a problem with meditation, but I do tell you this, and that's okay. I'll be the weirdo. I don't care. I'll tell you this. If you're going to open up your mind in meditation, be careful what you let in. I mean, Jesus Christ would have to go away into the Mount of Olives or in the middle of a boat out in the sea to get away from everybody. He was praying and meditating. More than one instance of Christ himself meditating, and he was by himself. But if you're going to open yourself up for meditation, you need to be careful what you let in because you're opening yourself up spiritually. So for me, I always cover myself, and I do that through Jesus Christ. Because I am a Christian, and that is my faith. And I want to make sure that there's only the good things that are coming in, because in the spirit realm, there is good and evil. And you want to make sure of that. So if you're someone of the Christian faith, if you're going to meditate, I want to highly encourage you that you cover yourself with the blood of Christ, cover yourself in Jesus' name, and do your prayer and meditation that way. Prayer is meditation with voicing, with making your proclamations or your Thanksgiving or whatever you want to call it, but prayer and meditation go together very much so. So anyway, you know, I had an interesting conversation with a friend of mine who's in law enforcement, retired police officer, last night, and he said something that really rang true with me. He goes, you know, most cops are mission-driven. And I thought, you know, that's true. I've said this before. Maybe you've heard me say this before, but I've noticed that people who are like law enforcement or military and people in ministry are very much cut from the same cloth. They're mission-driven. They have that type of personality where there has to be a reason why they're doing something mission-driven. And obviously someone would not go into ministry if they didn't feel like they had a mission with what they're doing. So I always say this. And law enforcement and ministers are always in my path. I do a lot of spiritual counseling, and a lot of times they're in my path that way. But people in law enforcement and people who minister, they're both battling evil, but it's just they're battling evil in a different realm. That's the way I put it. And if you can battle evil in both realms at the same time, that's even better. But they both do battle evil, I say, law enforcement in the physical realm and ministers in the spiritual realm. But there's always that mission there. And if you go back to think about it, somewhere if they've made that choice, they're choosing good over evil. Both of them. They're choosing good over evil. Does that continue? I don't know. It's an individual journey. I mean, I'm not saying that everybody's great because they're a cop. I'm not saying everybody's great because they're a minister. People are people. People are human beings. But in the beginning, there was a mission to what they're doing because, I mean, not anybody would sign up to not know if they're going to come home later that night. Nobody wants that kind of job, you know, very few people, unless they're wired to be mission-driven. And in ministry, trust me, it's the same thing in the spirit realm. Sometimes you have to battle. Sometimes you have to go to the gates of hell and battle evil for people when you're in ministry. You have to battle evil, and you take it home sometimes. There's a whole lot more than just standing up and preaching in a pulpit when it comes to ministry. Ministry encompasses a lot of things. It's not just churchy type things. But ultimately, if you choose some kind of ministry, you're signing up to battle evil in the spirit realm. I hope you know that if you want to go into ministry. I hope you understand that that's what that is. I can't tell you how many ministers have come to me for spiritual counseling because I'm an ordained clinical pastor. where, I mean, they're done. You know, there's so much against them. There's so many things going on that are wrong. People that are believers, overseers of them in ministry even, that come against them, and they just can't understand. I mean, they're at the end of the rope and want to quit, want to do something else. It happens all the time. It happens more than you'll ever know. There is a percentage ranking out there of how many ministers are quitting because so many things are happening to them. And, you know, when they come to me, the first thing I say is, well, what do you think you signed up for? When you say you're going into ministry, you're saying I'm waving the flag here, a war cry. I'm going into battle. I'm going to battle evil. I'm going to be the leader, the person on the white horse. This is what I choose to do. I mean, I hope you understand that's what you're doing, because if you're doing a good job, you're going to get attacked. Doesn't mean you're going to lose. Doesn't mean you'll go down unless you choose to go down. Same thing in law enforcement. If you're a police officer, you get shot. I mean, you understand that you signed up for it. You understand that. They all understand that. They hope it never happens, but they know that's par for the course with what they do. They're battling evil. Battling evil in the physical realm. But that's very interesting that there are certain types of personalities, and a lot of people who are mission-driven tend to be control freaks. So let me just bring that back in there. You have to be. I mean, if you don't have a good sense of control, you certainly can't go over there and try to do what you feel like you've been called to do when you're mission-driven. You have to have that sense of control. Being over-controlling, actually, it can be detrimental in the physical realm with your relationships and people around you. I understand that. Totally get that. But let me take that a step further. When you're someone with a very controlling personality, you're actually going against spiritually what you're supposed to do if you believe in Jesus Christ. You're actually going against what he teaches when you feel like you have to be in control of everything. I'm going to get real churchy here, so if you don't like it, you're done with me. You can go now. Okay, if you're still here, let me get churchy then. let me talk to you for a minute. See, when Jesus Christ died on the cross, he did that so that you can have an abundant life. That means you don't need to worry about money. You don't need to worry about your health. You don't need to worry about relationships. You're not supposed to worry. That's why he died on the cross. You don't have to worry about stuff. This is one of the reasons he died on the cross. So for you to worry about stuff and say you believe in Christ, you're actually in a state of sin. Because you're not adhering to the principles of Jesus Christ when you're constantly worried about stuff. When you worry about stuff, you tend to want to control it. And you know you can, because you're a successful person, so you'll take over and control it. Sometimes you're doing people a major disfavor by taking control of things, guys. Sometimes you do your kids a disfavor. You do yourself a disfavor. When there is something working on your behalf in the spiritual realm, like the power of Christ, you actually push it away from you. It can't come to you because you're trying to take the will and be in control all the time. Be still. Let it go. Let this process in the spirit realm work for you. Matthew chapter 6. Take no thought for tomorrow. Because basically what it's saying, tomorrow there will be enough anxiety and evil to battle on its own. So don't think about that. Don't think about tomorrow. And that really, really will put the kibosh on control freaks. Because they're always thinking about tomorrow. Take no thought for tomorrow. That's what it says in Matthew chapter 6, the teachings of Jesus Christ. You know, if you get a Bible and you open up to the Gospels, which is Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and you look at all the red letters, that red lettering isn't just to make it look pretty. The red lettering is what Jesus Christ himself said. Those are the actual teachings of Christ. There are a lot of people who literally open up the Bible and read every red letter in there because that's what they want. They want to just get to the red letters because that is the sustenance, the life force behind the teachings of Christ. And he says, you know, in red letter. So when you hear in red letter, that's what that means. Don't think about tomorrow, because tomorrow you're going to have plenty to worry about. You need to be focused on today. You need to be present today, because today is what's mattering. What matters is today. And who knows what's going to happen tomorrow? You know, tomorrow's a very scary thing. Even when you're a control freak, tomorrow can be a scary thing. Tomorrow meaning tomorrow on up to next year or 10 years or 5 years, whatever. The future. Tomorrow is the future. And it can be a very scary thing for everybody. Everybody wants to know what the future is. Most everybody, if it's good stuff. Most people, a lot of people don't want to know the bad stuff. Some people want to know the bad stuff. It's interesting. If you take a DNA test now, they're getting so good with these DNA tests now. There's one in particular, I think it's 23andMe, where they can actually tell you your genetic issues through your DNA, what is most probable with you, what you could have, what you're prone to have, diseases you're prone to have. They could take you out, man. They could bump you out. They can do that in your DNA now. A lot of people don't like that, and they don't want to know it. So the DNA test, 23andMe, will actually make you sign up and say, yeah, I want to know this stuff. Because, you know, they don't want to be sued or whatever, or make people upset because they discovered that they may only have 5 years left to live. Whatever it is. It's interesting. It is interesting. I really didn't have a problem with it. I wanted to know. Mine didn't really have anything of substance to say as far as, you know, what my DNA holds health-wise, except it was really strange. It was like, well, we know that you can never finish a cup of coffee. And I'm like, dang, man, I can't finish a cup of coffee. How do they know that? I mean, I like coffee, but for some reason, if I get like a regular size coffee at like a Starbucks or whatever, I could sip that baby for a week. I'm like, wow, you mean my DNA actually says that? You know, and it said like, you know, you're not a good sprinter. And I'm like, dang, I can't run. I'm a terrible runner. I mean, I was always a bad runner. It knows that. And other things like, you know, you're not good with alcohol. I'm not. I'm a terrible drinker. I mean, I have two sips and I could have my own HBO special. Let me tell you, it's bad. It just stuff like that, it went over with me, which was very interesting. And it was true. There was really no other things that they dispelled as far as health-wise. But it's interesting that your DNA breakup can actually go over things that will dispel your future, even how long you may have left to live, if it's a bad disease or something. So a lot of people don't want to know that stuff, and that's purely understandable. But usually people who are control freaks do want to know because they want to plan ahead. They want to fix it. They want to make it right. Few simple rules that I'm going to give you right now. A, when you feel like you have to control everything, again, you are not being present and cannot enjoy your present time. B, when you have loved ones around you and they have things go wrong and you're constantly controlling them, you're doing them a major disfavor in the spirit realm. You need to let them know that they have to execute their own faith. They have to turn to God. They have to be still and listen to God. They have to talk to God on their own. That includes your kids and everybody else that you're worried about. I probably have some pretty good answers for people who are going through some stuff because I'm a clinical pastor. However, when it comes to my own family, my own child, I have to really back up sometimes and say, listen, learn to lean in on the Lord, talk to him, pray about it, and trust the process that he has good things for you. That's what I have to say. I'd love to get more involved, but God's like, stop. God smacks. Let's just smack you on the hand. Stop. I'm trying to do something here. I'm trying to help someone grow, be better, be stronger. You don't want to take that away from someone when they're on a spiritual journey. It would be better to let them learn how to lean and grow their own faith. Okay, so that's the second thing. The third thing is to realize that you're wired to be controlling for the reason of that you're mission-driven. That is very true. And you need to discover what is that mission that you have somehow inadvertently chosen in your life? What is the mission? What is your mission as someone who's very controlling? It's going to be one of two things. My mission is to make sure that I further off my offspring, which we did a whole show on this. You can go back to last week's show and listen if you want. You know, my mission in life is to make sure that I leave my family with enough wealth and money. And, you know, my mission is to make sure I leave behind a reasoning and understanding that I was a good person, I did my job. You know, what is your mission? Or my mission is to know that there were battles that I had to ensue in the spirit realm, and I took care of them because God called me to do it. I hope you picked the latter one. For people who are controlling to be in the spirit realm, it's often a difficult journey. Let me tell you, even the Bible says it's difficult. If you read the story of the rich man who wanted to know more about embracing the gospel that Jesus Christ was teaching, very, very difficult for him to embrace the teachings of Christ. The spirit realm is difficult for people who are very controlling and very successful oftentimes. But if you do understand that you're on a spiritual journey and you're that type of person, you're going to be 10 times more successful than you've ever been in your life. It's the most ironic thing I've heard is letting go leads to success. But in the spirit realm, that's the way it works. And in the spirit realm, it's full of opposites. I often say the kingdom, the spirit realm, is inside out and upside down. Things get done backwards from the physical realm. Very often true. If you can learn to lean in on God, learn to let go, and just trust that process that, yes, I do believe. I do believe there's a God. I do believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, if you do believe that. Then you're going to have to let go and learn to lean. The spiritual realm is a difficult journey for people like that, but if you do it, you're going to find tremendous success. And guess what else you're going to get, control freak? Peace. Hey, I know all about the peace thing. Remember, I am you. Peace. Man, it's just so nice once in a while when someone will take the yoke off of you, the burden of being in charge of everything, and they make the decisions for you, and you're like, okay, cool, make the decisions. You run the ship. Oh, man. Well, Jesus Christ himself offered to do that. The first teachings of Christ talks about where he says this. I got good news for you. I'm going to take that yoke off your back. I'm gonna carry the burden for you. Jesus Christ said that. You don't have to carry the burden anymore. I mean, you read the first red letters in the gospel, that's what he says, the very first red letters. I'm here to take it off. You've got good news. Control freak, you don't have to worry about it anymore. Let go. Let go of it. I'm here. If you can do it, it's just like a sigh of relief. All CFs out there, I want you to move in that direction. That's your assignment. The Eden assignment, this is my assignment to tell you about this stuff. Your assignment is to actually pick it up and do it. Learn to let go. How do I let go? How do I let go? Everything's going to fall apart. Be still. Everything I'm telling you is in the Bible. I'm not making this stuff up. I'm not that good. I'm the messenger. I'm not that good at this stuff. Trust me. I have to go by it too. Be still. Listen. Know, reason, and understand. Figure out what your mission is, what your purpose is. Know that he is God. Be still and know that I am God. It's not a suggestion, guys. It's a command. It's a rule. Be still and know that I am God. Take no thought for tomorrow. Tomorrow's going to have enough for you to deal with. Right now, be present today and be still. You're going to feel so much better. Just like, you're going to hear birds sing, you know. You're going to smell flowers for the first time. Like, wow, those things smell good. Yeah, stop and smell roses, right? Well, listen, I hope I've helped you a little bit. Little morsels, little pieces I toss your way every week. I try to do it. I get busy sometimes. But you know what? I need to be still, too, and make sure I'm doing my mission. And this is part of it. I'm a writer. I'm a teacher. I'm a speaker. This is what I do. This is what I've done my whole life, only I haven't done it in the spirit realm. I did it for me. And I got to tell you, it worked. I did a good job helping myself. Went all the way to major market TV. 4 published books, write for 2 national magazines in the martial arts industry. I did really well for myself. Little Miss Control Freak. I did good. Pat myself on the back. But I missed out on a lot of stuff, guys, until I figured it out. I say I believe in Jesus Christ. How does that apply to me and my drive? What am I supposed to do with that? And the answer is very clear. You know what? Let me handle this, Karen. You be still and let go. Let me do this. Let me put your purpose into place, your mission. Let me make sure that I guide you and give you what you need. You know, maybe I don't have the acclamations I used to have, but actually I do. I actually do. But anyway, maybe, you know, I'm not as cool as I used to be. I don't know how to put it, because being a A Christy person isn't always cool. I really don't care. Hey, listen, I've done it all. I've reached every goal I've ever wanted to do in this life by the time I was 40 years old. I'm not bragging. I'm telling you, it was empty. I was stressed out. It wasn't the answer. You know, I'm just kind of floating along, being still, and letting God decide what my mission is now, happier than I've ever been. I have more sense of peace and balance. Sure, I have my issues. Man, I got issues. Let me tell you, don't think I don't have issues. Everybody's got issues. Sometimes I have bad days. Sometimes those issues will overcome me. I got to be still. I got to get it right. I got to fix it. I don't want to waste another day with issues. That's hard. That's laying that down is hard. Sometimes you got to lay down the issues down when there's no accountability for it, and that's tough. But you got to do it. You don't want to be in the wrong. Wrongnessness is the opposite of righteousness. You don't want to be in the wrongnessness, right? Let go. Lean in on the Lord. Okay, I did mention to you I do have books out. I do have 4 books out. You can Google me and find them, and I hope you buy them. And they're all over the place. This day and age with the computer, your books get picked up and they're everywhere. So just buy them because eventually I'll get a cut of it. Yeah. You know, I appreciate you if you want to hit me up on my Facebook page, my group page, the Eden Assignment. I post all of these radio links right there. And I also have my writings on there as well. Try to inspire whatever I can do. Hope to do more than inspire. Hope to put you on an assignment, get you going here. Life is short, isn't it? Isn't life short? I mean, I'm just, you know, me and my other friend, we talk, man, I feel like I should be, I don't know, maybe 28 by now. And I'm 29. No, I'm just kidding. So I just, it's like, wow, where did like the last 2 or 3 decades go? Seriously. It's because life is short for everybody. So my buddy, my cop last night, friend, said, you know what? Nobody gets out alive. That's the bottom line. Nobody gets out alive. And you have to remember that. And you have to like make sure that you're on purpose and you're fulfilling what you were here to do spiritually for the spirit realm, this vast realm, 100 million times more vast than the physical realm. The spirit realm will be your intake when you're dead, when your physical body crosses. When your physical body's done and your spirit crosses, guess where you go? The kingdom of heaven, the spirit realm is where you go. You're not gone. And make sure you did it right when you're in the physical realm so it makes a difference in the spirit realm so that, you know, you can have the payoff of what you're supposed to do, for lack of a better way to put it. Because if I put it other ways, I'm going to sound really religious-y again. I have to do little increments. People can't handle stuff all the time. I remember one time I gave this great talk, and the pastor of the church, and everybody's staring at me with deer in the headlight look, their mouth open. I'm like, what did I do wrong, sir? Like, you know, this is when I'm coming up as an ordained minister. Sometimes I've had to do like the behind the pulpit thing, which I don't really like to do very much. And, you know, the critique is like, well, listen, Karen, there's, you know, there's the shotgun of what you're doing and then just a little squirt gun of what you're doing. These people, you got to squirt gun them. Little squirts. Don't overwhelm them. They can't handle that. Like, oh, okay, I didn't realize that, man. People are different. Oh, okay, sure, cool. All right. Well, listen, that, I'm done. Hit me up again if you need anything. I'm all over the place on social media, and I'll be glad to help you out. Pray for us. We're doing a lot of work with inner city martial arts all over the world, and just got back from Pawnee Nation with Master David Littleson, great-grandson of a great Pawnee chief there. Went in and helped with the women. A lot of Native American women are disappearing, guys. Pray for them. They don't know what's happening to them. They're just gone. They're leaving. They're disappearing. They think they're going in the sex trade. We don't know, but when you realize on a lot of reservations and Native lands, they only have one tribal law enforcement officer for every 1,000 people. It's easy to see how that can happen. So pray for Native America. Pray for us, and let us know if we can help you. All right, man. God bless you. We'll see you next time on the Eden Assignment. I am Karen Eden, and you have a great week. Bye-bye. Hi, everybody. This is Karen Eden from the Eden Assignment, and I would like to tell you about a very special sponsor for the show, who also happens to be my longtime friend, Maria Vitale of Liv Sotheby's, real estate agent at Maria at mariasdenverhomes.com. And I want you to know that she can take care of all of your real estate needs from, get this, anywhere on the entire planet. That's right. Nowhere's too far for her to reach out and help you with all of your real estate needs. Her phone number is 720-366-5121. Again, that's Maria Vitale, real estate agent at Live Sotheby's downtown Cherry Creek in Denver. Her email is maria@mariasdenverhomes.com. She's able to help you, and I can vouch for her that she's a good person, and she will definitely take care of you. So thank you very much, Maria, for sponsoring the Eden Assignment, and we'll see you all next time for another show.